Chicago, it's DJ Moore here. I'm glad to be here, excited to be here.
DJ Moore, Chicago Bear wide receiver.
Shoot, they're getting a fun, exciting, energetic person that's just going to come to work every day and not look back.
Second down and six. Williams play fake. Now throws wide open. It's DJ Moore. The former Carolina Panther is in for a Bears touchdown. 34 yards. Williams to Moore. Williams, Moore, end zone. He's got it. Touchdown.
That was a beautiful ball.
DJ Moore chatting it up with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
We're going to bear down.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We love our opportunity to talk to DJ Moore, and he joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Hey, DJ, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How are y'all?
Oh, well. We're doing great. What did you do? What was your weekend like? What did you do over the weekend?
I just relaxed at home, got some work done, played with the kids, and that was it.
How much did you enjoy Maryland beating USC, and did you have anything riding on it with your quarterback?
Shoot, it was amazing to come back win at the end. And me and Caleb was texting back and forth all game when his guys was making plays, and then Maryland made plays. It was just a fun back and forth.
Do you I don't know, take advantage of any, make him wear a jersey? I mean, what do? You got to – even if you didn't have a pre-existing bet, that's too good an opportunity to let go.
Nah, I'm not going to make him wear a jersey or anything. Even though he's from that area, he should have went to Maryland, but that's for another day.
You know, take a step back, though. From a college football perspective, did you watch some other games? And because the Big Ten is more unpredictable than ever. It's larger than ever. But you look at what's going on in the Big Ten, you can't figure things out. I mean, Maryland loses to Northwestern, for example. They come back and they beat USC, which played well against Penn State. And DJ is just crazy in that league.
Yeah, the Big Ten is definitely it got a lot going on right now. It's new teams from all across the country, and like it's difficult battles, but they gotta come play every Saturday. And us losing to Northwestern was something crazy.
Why Maryland? What brought you there? What was your impetus to go there? I know you're from Philly. Just curious as to was it the way they recruited you? Was there any particular reason you wanted to go to Maryland?
One was school, and then the way they recruited me, and then it was close enough where I can drive back and forth home during holidays.
Did you take Sunday to watch other games around the league? Did you take it away from football just to get away? Because it was a fascinating day in the NFC North.
Yeah, I watched some of the games. The one, it came down to field goals and interceptions and sacks at the end of the game. So I was like, dang, this league is real hard, and the Vikings are undefeated no more. So, I mean, NFC North is something to watch out for this year.
Yeah, I mean, about that, it's you guys get your bye week, right? You go to London, you win your third of three straight, you get a week off, and you come back, and all of a sudden, every team in the division has five wins, and you're looking up at them. I mean, that seems unfair. I felt bad for the Bears that everybody won.
Yeah, it was like, dang, nobody wanted to lose this weekend, really. So it was like, I mean, it is what it is, but we still got this.
When you have time to watch other games or watch other players, is there anybody or any team that you like to check in on to keep track of?
Not really. I'm just watching the whole league in general, just watching good games. So that's what I really did.
How are you feeling physically? We talked to you after that game in London, and you've been getting beaten up a little bit this year. You've had a couple of minor kind of niggling little injuries. How are you feeling now? And did you get much treatment? Is there anything that you did last week at the building, or did you stay away?
I stayed away from the building just to take the ease off of football and just be family man and dad and in the house. So now I just was just relaxing and let the body heal the way that it heals.
So what is the plan this week in terms of your return to Hallis Hall today? Are you guys practicing? And when you have a weekend off like you did, how fully recharged do you feel as you get ready to go back to work?
I mean, you're going to have to ramp back up, but that's why we came in on Monday to do a few things, get the body moving. And so when we go back out there on Wednesday full speed, we'd be all good.
So we haven't talked to you since Cole Kmet became the special teams player of the week. I thought that was hilarious. Cairo Santos kind of predicted it after the game. It's the first time a long snapper has ever won that particular award, and it was a guy that had to fill in as a long snapper. What was your take on that one?
Cole can do it all. Once I seen him out there, after he scored and went and snapped the ball, I was like, yeah, he's different today. He's doing it overseas too. So, I mean, it was amazing to watch.
So you mentioned the Vikings losing. That means the Lions beat them, and the Lions are very good wherever they play. Jared Goff's having an MVP-like season. You look at the Packers. The Packers were able to walk off the Texans at Lambeau, but that was a big game for them, a good opponent. DJ, when you look at this division being the toughest in football this year, I'm not sure how many people expected that to be the case, but it is. How do you assess how good you are compared to the other three teams in the division when you take a step back?
I mean, it's all a tight race, you know. With everybody, we all playing good football. They all playing good complementary football. So we just got to stay on that wavelength of just playing complementary football with each other as Bears, and just stay hungry and still go after that division, even though everybody is on the up right now.
So you came back from London. You were there for us. Regardless, last week, which we really appreciated. How long did it take you to get your body clock together? Did the jet lag hit you at all, or did you just sleep for a couple of days because you had the time?
Nah, my body was just regular. I would still wake up around 5:30, 6 o'clock every day, even when we got back. So the jet lag didn't have anything to really do with it.
How much do you know about the Commanders so far? They are a team that, as surprising as the Bears season may be to some people, the Commanders are another surprise in the NFC. Jaden Daniels comes down yesterday with a rib injury. You don't know his status, but that defense is playing at a pretty high level under Dan Quinn lately. I know it's early, but do you know much about the team you're going to face next Sunday?
I know that I've seen them play yesterday. Their defense is flying around and making plays, so definitely looking forward to looking at more film on them and see how that goes.
Did you get a chance to talk to any of your teammates? I'm just curious if you know anything about Jaquan Brisker, if he's feeling better. Obviously, he couldn't go to London with the concussion. I'm just curious how he's doing a week after that trip.
I think he's doing good. He was on Twitter two-year play-by-play of the game, so I think he's doing good.
Do you have anything to add to if they ask you what can, as a self-scout, that's what coaches do in the bye week, and they say, what can we do better? What do we need to know more of? If they were to ask you about, okay, DJ, tell us what you think of this offense and how we can improve, where would you start?
Where would I start? Shoot. I don't know. That's a tricky question. You know, when you self-scout, you looking at it as a one-by-one, but probably in our room, just being more available and open faster so we can get this thing going even better than what it already is.
I was talking to someone about Terry McLaurin, the Washington receiver, and he was saying that if you watch what they do when they're in 11, he always lines up on the right, or at least 90% of the time he lines up on the right. They have this formation they use where the quarterback tends to run right, the running back goes right, and they do a crossing pattern from the right to the left. Is that the sort of thing that people are looking at in a bye week? And do you like that idea of lining up on one side versus the other, or do you like to move around?
Teams do pick up on that, and I think our defense will probably have something for it or probably notice it. But that's something to pick up on when you straight watch a film on teams. And then just moving around is probably the best thing, because they can't just hone in on you and push the coverage over to you if you on one side.
You know, DJ, this week you know how it works. There will be a lot of comparisons between Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams and maybe the pre-draft process. So when you go back to last late winter, early spring, as the Bears were evaluating the draft class of quarterbacks, just curious, how involved or did you get involved at all? Did they ask you to look at tape of any of the quarterbacks? Did you offer your opinions on guys comparing and contrasting the quarterbacks available?
Nah, I kind of already knew taking Caleb, and I had seen film on him, and once I got to meet him in person for the first time, I mean, you can't not like the guy, so I was fine with who was taking that one for a long time.
How surprised were you, or have you been, that Jaden Daniels has had such early success?
I'm not surprised, because I think Kyler Murray with Cliff Kingsbury had the same like type success when they first got together. So it was it was bound to happen.
Have you watched much tape of them yet?
No, not yet. Just a little bit of the corners and how they're playing. They're playing real good, so not as a defense as a whole.
You know, their offense has been described, and I don't know if this is necessarily a compliment, but sometimes the Commanders' offense under Cliff Kingsbury, run by Jaden Daniels, has been described as more of a college offense, and that's why he's had maybe more success early on, because he's been less to learn, whereas in contrast, maybe Caleb has had more more of sophisticated pro-style offense to grasp. Is there any validity to that, do you think? Do you look at that? I know you probably not studied them as much, but do you understand what people are trying to say when they make that comparison?
Yeah, because you can see his success and everything going so smoothly. They might be, like, not a dumbed-down version of the NFL, like maybe a college style. But on the flip side, we got a nice, healthy NFL playbook on this side. So it definitely takes time to digest and get it to where you like it.
Do you feel that, you know, we've talked about this idea that he's been improving, that your offense has gotten better, that the, you know, introduction of the first 15, although there were elements of that early, has helped all of you guys kind of study and work on what you're doing. Do you feel improvement as the season has gone on?
Yeah, because it makes everybody hone in onto what's going on, game to game, drive to drive, play to play. Like, you know exactly what the details are on each play that you have that's coming up next. So you know that I got to get this job done.
So, DJ, last week was a huge one in the NFL for wide receivers. Devontae Adams on the move to the Jets, big trade. Amari Cooper goes to the Bills, another big deal. Both those guys played yesterday and contributed to their team's offensive production. As a receiver, a guy in those roles as the number one wide receiver on his respective team, how hard is it to change teams midweek, midseason, and still learn the offense enough to make a contribution on the following Sunday?
I don't want to say it's too hard, but it's hard enough. Because, you know, they're going to have the packages for you where you can get the ball, but you still want to know everything else that's going on around you to benefit the team and help win.
Is it significantly different now that you've done that this year? In other words, you know, you had the off season to kind of learn the new offense, but you've been deployed differently. We talked about some of the decoy stuff earlier on in the year. Is it Is it evolving a little bit, your role, and how different is it just coming in 1 week versus, you know, you've gone through a lot of systems in your time in the NFL?
I mean, every game, it changes. Like, every year, I done had some had to do something different, whether it was a deep thread, intermediate, short, and just catching runs. This year, it's like I feel like it's going game to game, what I can do. So I think it's all on display.
When you see as many trades as took place last week, 3 weeks before the deadline, there were four deals that were done. Does that get the attention of players in a locker room? Do people start to wonder? How is that received? Because you don't typically see a lot of activity. I guess it's been more in recent years, but the NFL trade deadline isn't like other sports.
Yeah, I haven't heard anybody talking about trades in the locker room or anything, or anybody being traded on our team. So I'm not too worried about it for anybody.
If you could make one trade, who would you get rid of? I'm kidding.
Nobody.
I'm just kidding. But it's funny because there is that sense around some other sports that guys are there temporarily. With the NFL, because they've moved the trade deadline a couple of times now, it's more likely that teams are going to make a move of some kind. Usually, because someone's gotten hurt, because you've lost something you thought you were going to have as a team.
Yeah, that's a big part of it. If somebody goes down, then you go to see the next best available, or try to see who's next best available and make a trade for them. And that can happen.
I was very curious about how you were watching Sunday Night Football with the Steelers and the Jets. No team had ever made a quarterback change when they were 4-2, and yet Justin Fields goes to the sideline. Russell Wilson takes over. Took him a little while to get going, but he did get going, and the Steelers prevailed. What did you think about that move and what it meant to their season?
I didn't really watch the game, so I don't even know the ending score. I mean, and that's a coach's decision to put a new quarterback in, 4-2, even though they was winning. It might not have been pretty winning, but they was winning, and I think that's what he wanted to see, like a pretty win to really make the decision.
So the bye week coming as early as it did, now you got just the rest of your season, right? You kind of know now that you're heading back to work, and it's just going to be week in, week out, all the way to the rest of the year. Do you like that?
No, I don't like that.
You'd like that later in the year?
Yeah, later in the year is better because you can really – that's when you know the aches and pains are there, and then you like, ooh, we got that bye week, and then you really feel rejuvenated and can go out there and play your best football at the end of the year.
Well, you're probably going to get to two byes when you finally go to 18 games, which could be quicker than anyone wants.
but still, that's going to be hurtful too.
But don't you have some veteran days off accumulated? Don't you get like Wednesdays off, CJ?
He's not
me?
Mercedes yeah. Lewis.
Yeah, no, I'm not there yet.
Okay, you're not there yet? What do you have to do to get there?
I think you got to be like 13 plus to get that.
Okay.
You start dictating when your days off are, yeah, you got to be like 13 plus.
Great stuff, DJ. Thank you, buddy. Great catching up with you. Have fun against Washington.
Thanks, DJ.
Thank you all.
That is DJ Moore. That's hilarious.
He should definitely
take a Veterans Day off.
No doubt. The segment with DJ Moore was sponsored by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency, call the plumbing professionals. Available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. He has to work on Wednesdays? At some point in time, if they get, you know, November, doesn't he deserve the day off?
He gets Tuesday off. He doesn't have to go in on Tuesday, Kirk Cousins.
Good to catch up with DJ Moore.
Oh, I love the guy. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Hey, listen, man, to say that I'm proud of you would be the massive understatement. That's the way to come in here. Everything we talked about from the time we got to halftime to the way we had to finish it out, man. Composure, right? Communication, attitude, patience, patience. My God, man, you guys didn't bat an eye. I love this freaking team. I love the coaches. I love the players. I love everything about it, man. We are so freaking hardened. Even when it doesn't go the way we want it to, man, you find a way. That is an outstanding win. We are 1-0 in the division, gentlemen. That's one. Break it down.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That is Dan Campbell, and he's talking about composure. I love the way you're composed.
Why his voice is like that. It was loud in that building. It was loud in that building.
He's shot out of a cannon.
Yes, he is, and it works because that was their first game without Aiden Hutchinson. They go on the road in a hostile environment. They didn't show up for the first quarter.
No, they didn't.
Look good. They looked like they were rattled. They were rattled.
The Vikings looked good.
They did look good.
Yep.
Off to a 10-0 lead.
You were worried, weren't you?
Well, I thought that the Lions would take care of business as they typically do.
You had the Lions in Houston. You had the road team.
Yes, I did. And Houston came close, but they were beaten by a last-second field goal by the Packers. Jordan Love, 2 touchdown passes, 2 interceptions. He's a little erratic at times.
Well, he's still learning to work his way back.
But he was a better quarterback.
He missed.
Yeah, but he was a better quarterback on the field. Surprisingly, C.J. Stroud did not have it. He was not good. Little brother did not come through.
It's a little intimidated by the flower.
Maybe so.
Do you think is anyone intimidated by the flower? Maybe some defensive coaches are.
They should be because coaching job by Matt LaFleur is impressive.
Very good.
I think when you look at what he's been able to do this year without a healthy Jordan Love for the bulk of the season and the first half, they are in a good spot in the division. So are the Vikings. So are the Lions. All three of those teams in the toughest division of football have to feel pretty good about themselves. So that thud you heard this morning was the Bears falling into last place.
Yeah, that's hard to believe. As well as they've played and on a 3-game winning streak, you take a week off and now you're in the dungeon.
But it just reinforces how it really should. To this football team this season, only worry about things you can control. Only. Okay. Because the Bears are trying to do this all season long, gradually improve and continue to have the arrow pointing up. This is year 3 of the Matt Eberflus regime. They've got to have a winning record. They've got to show progress. There is an implied or else there. So 6 games in, feel pretty good. You take the weekend off, fine.
What do you want out of the division? I know there's a ways to go yet, but when you envision the division, how do you see it?
3 playoff teams, obviously the division winner, and then 2 wild cards, and then the 4th team feeling very good about its season with a winning record and maybe on the outside looking in of the playoffs. That is reality, I think. That's what you realistically can expect.
I need them to split with at least 2 of the 3 teams.
I see that's possible with the Vikings. I think it's possible with...
Don't say it.
The Lions?
See, now, okay, I'm going to restate what I need. I need them to split with the flower.
You need them
to beat the rest of Chicago
needs them to beat the Packers.
For the first time since he's been here.
But until they do it, do you trust they will? No. They've not earned the benefit of that doubt. No.
I need the defensive-minded coach to be able to stop offense of your number one rival.
You can keep saying defensive-minded head coach Matt Eberflus, and we can say it till we're blue in the face. You know what, though? You look at this division. Why is it the toughest in football? Because of the defenses. Because the Packers can play some defense. They came after C.J. Stroud, and they've confused him, and he was not good. You look at the Vikings. The Vikings under Brian Flores have been one of the better defenses in the league.
The Vikings might have the worst run defense in the division.
Fair enough.
In the division.
Fair enough.
And that's saying that the Bears aren't having a great season with the run defense, but I think they're better at it than the Vikings.
I think you're probably right, but I do think the Vikings defense has earned – respect by how well they have played in the first six games. I think you look at the Lions being able to overcome the loss of Aiden Hutchinson and still play a brand of defense.
For 1 week.
Okay.
Back off.
Okay, so rank the defenses for me then, Mr. Buddy Ryan.
Well, I mean, I can't rank the defenses. I can't rank the offenses. I can rank the teams for you, and we know where that rank ends up for the Bears. Why do you have to keep bringing it up?
I'm not bringing it up. I said earlier in the show that the Lions offense was the best unit in the division.
Yeah.
And I believe that. What's the second best unit in the division? Is it the Bears defense? Because if it is, then they have a chance to get to become that third team. If it is over the final 11 games of the season, if it can be the second best unit in the division, and sometimes maybe on some Sundays the best, then the Bears can legitimately think that they can get to the playoffs.
I think it's a work in progress, including the Lions offense. I think that right now I wouldn't argue with that. I think early in the season, the reason the Vikings were so much better than we thought is that their offense was probably the best unit in the division. Early in the season, I would say that Detroit did a great job yesterday. And if Goff's going to play like that, then maybe that's the group. I wonder if how much growth is in front of Jordan Love. In other words, he played significantly better in the second half of the season than he did in the first part of the year a year ago. But now he gets hurt. He was playing okay to start the season. He gets hurt, and he still isn't back to whatever level he was at.
No, he's not. Not yet.
Yeah,
Still too erratic, but right. your point's well taken. He is a second half of the season guy.
And what happens without Aiden Hutchinson for the rest of the season? Do they do anything other than try to raid a practice squad or two? Do they go out and try to make a move?
They could make a trade. I don't know that they're going to give up what the Raiders are asking for Max Crosby.
But here's the thing. They're a team that has Super Bowl aspirations.
Yeah.
They're a team that was a game away a year ago.
So?
So they're willing to do anything it takes to win in the right now.
Which what you're saying is they will mortgage the future
well,
for now.
You would think they'd be more motivated to do so because they've already given a contract to most of the people that were up. On that offense,
they've secured the tackle,
the wide receiver, and even the running back.
The quarterback. They got the running back. Yeah. They've got the edge rusher who's hurt. But they have the pieces that they are aligned contractually. They got the wide receiver, too. They've got now the head coach and the general manager. They are in a position to where if they don't get to the Super Bowl, it will be viewed as a disappointment in Detroit.
Yeah. I agree with
that.
And
if you get to the Super Bowl, you can win a Super Bowl. And you know how you win a Super Bowl? With an edge rusher, a game wrecker, a guy like Max Crosby.
They're going to need that.
So they would be willing to get involved in those kind of conversations in a way that maybe teams that aren't quite there yet would be reluctant to.
And they might not have to get Max Crosby. There might be like other lesser options out there.
Do you know any other edge rushers who were Pro Bowl caliber that played their college football in the state of Michigan?
Well, I mean, I don't know where Myles Garrett would rank in your Michigan hierarchy, but I'd take that guy in a heartbeat. If that team has fallen apart, and you could argue that maybe now that they're, again, they don't have Joe Flacco, but now that they're, that's a team that won
after the with Deshaun five, Watson.
Well, they couldn't win with Deshaun Watson, and he walked off the field with them. And I don't like that people cheered because he got hurt. I don't think that's very, very good to do.
I don't like that people cheered, but I also don't like that the players pretended like he hasn't had a checkered past in defending him.
That was
somewhere between is the truth.
Myles Garrett came out and basically said the guy's done nothing wrong. Yeah. He's never done anything wrong off the court or off the field. I mean, they're like, as we've mentioned several times, he has more settled lawsuits than he has touchdown passes
they don't want that on the back of your football card.
That's not a compliment.
No. So the point being, they could be in a sell mode. They've already gotten rid of Amari Cooper. they could be trying to unload big contracts to kind of rebuild with young, cheap talent.
Yes.
And they may be in the market to get rid of somebody who would be the most elite pass rusher available, if he is available.
It's a defensive player of the year.
I'm not arguing.
But, I mean, Detroit lost a guy who was arguably going to be the defensive player of the year.
He was on his way. Did you see the reports there? Sources indicate that if they do get to the Super Bowl we're talking about, that he would be possibly in play.
Okay. All right. We've got Jason Coyle is going to join us next. We're going to get a chance to talk to the boss of the Chicago Sports Network, and we'll find out what's going on both with us.
Yes.
Thank you for having us. But also with whether or not you're going to be able to get to see them soon.
The latest in negotiations with Jason Coyle when we come back.
Mully and Haw on the Score.
Really have to understand Chicago. They have to understand the content that Chicago sports fans want. Everything has to land for Chicago fans. And Chicago fans can tell, you know, what you're talking about. And that's our bar. It's a very high one.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That is the voice of Jason Coyle. He, of course, is the president and GM of the Chicago Sports Network. And he's right here with us right now. He's on the Chicago Sports Network, and he's on the Mully and Haw Show. And good morning, Jason. How you holding up?
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me. This is a great day for Chicago sports, great day for the Chicago Sports Network. Excited to build on our first couple of weeks on air, and everything that we do is grounded in Chicago, the Chicago sports scene, and what better way to start it every morning than with Mully, with Haw 670.
It's great to have you here in studio, and obviously that was the announcement today at 7 o'clock. We are going to be simulcasting our show between 7 and 9 on the Chicago Sports Network. That's terrific. We are appreciative of that. We love the partnership. We can talk about that any day. What people really want to know, obviously Hawks fans, Bulls fans, is where are the state of negotiations with Comcast and the Chicago Sports Network, because people are upset because they can't watch their teams.
Yeah. Dive right into it. I'll give you the context and the status of everything that we're doing there. So first, the relationship with Comcast over the years has been great. And obviously the partnership with NBC was a successful one, and the conversations with the teams and they extended through the spring. I don't think anyone wanted that to end. It really was a great alignment, and the business model just sort of petered out, and there was no mutual way forward. So we decided to pursue what we think is a really great option, and will be. Immediately started in conversations with them, trying to engage on the Comcast side in business negotiations. And we have made two offers to them, substantive, both at significant discounts. We have received no offers back. There are reports that we have, and that there's something there for us to sign. We have not received anything back from them. And just to give you a grounding in how all of this works and some of the statements that they made to the Tribune over the weekend. So here's our values and our approach and our motivation. First, grounded in Chicago, increasing, ironically, given this conversation, access for all Chicago sports fans. Anyone who wants to watch on whatever platform they prefer, whatever price level is best for them, we have to reground in that access. And that was why the prior model was not working for anyone. Too few were able to watch on just this cable system. So we invested in a multi-platform approach. We're giving the network away. It was the point that they made in the Tribune. We are making it available free to air. There are 600,000 households in Chicago who already watch free to air with a digital antenna. And maybe it's financial, maybe it's motivated for other reasons, but these are people who have already left the cable universe. They are not coming back. They are not going to be Comcast customers. And so we need to make it available to them. They've been frozen out. But then on top of it, we want to be available on traditional satellite, traditional cable, and certainly streaming and Comcast. And I had a Comcast customer come up to me this weekend and say, do you honestly want me to buy an antenna and switch for? No, we don't. It's not designed for that. It's not an inducement.
That's not the idea.
No.
Right.
It's not an inducement to cut the cord. It's not a replacement for cable. It's not. It's different functionality. Can't record. It's perfectly good and it's right for those people. But these are separate. And so we've engaged in 13 conversations with paid television providers. We've reached 12 deals. We're being extremely flexible. We're going in at significant discounts to try to ensure access and that prices don't go up for any fans. We need to re-ground with the Chicago sports fan. And so that is our motivation, and that's our position, and we have not gotten a single offer back, and here we stand.
Not gotten a single offer back is surprising.
Yep.
Why they would take that tack also is surprising.
How does it benefit them? I mean, how are they serving their clientele?
Well, they're not really serving their clientele right now because, as the way I understand it, if you are a Comcast customer, as I am, then you're still getting charged a premium service for a channel you're not receiving right now. The NBC Sports Chicago charge exists, but you're not getting any premium sports content in the month of October.
Yeah, I'm trying to make sense of what their motivation is, and I don't want to speculate. In the Chicago Tribune, they made the point over the weekend that they have not stated to us over the course of the months that why would they pay for something that we're giving away for free. And first, they're not paying for anything, as you noted, the customers are.
Yeah.
And whether that's in the base tier or a higher tier, they're not paying for anything. They're passing that along. But the second thing that's more important is that was a red herring argument. It's almost like their customer support AI chatbot kind of threw something truthy out there. That's standard fare. Comcast and other pay TV providers pass along free-to-air channels and charge their customers for it every day. When you watch the Bears on Channel 2, BBM, or 5, right. or 7, or right. 32, right. those are free-to-air. You could watch them on an antenna. And Comcast doesn't just take those and sell them to their customers. They pay for those. And you'll see, also listed on the bill, all the retransmission broadcast fees right along the RSN fees.
So the Hawks have a home game tomorrow night. The Bulls begin their regular season on Wednesday night in New Orleans. How would you describe the sense of urgency? Now, you can't speak for them, certainly, but would you expect there to be a greater sense of urgency for Comcast Xfinity because of the Bulls season beginning Wednesday?
Anyone who understands Chicago, the Chicago sports fan, should have urgency. I know this is a long-term business proposition, and certainly we're in the top of the first, whatever sports analogy we want to use. But it's also bottom of the ninth. These are regular season games.
Right.
And if you're living in Chicago, if your feet are here, if your head is here, you have urgency. Believe me, we are ready to go. And we hope that we hear from them. And there is no particular reason that this has to extend beyond a phone call, a bet back and forth, and let's get it on the air and let's get going.
Yeah, it's bothersome because of the people that want to see it. That's all it is. I mean, there are so many people I know that want to see it. It has nothing to do with, I mean, why deny them that? And you're not the one doing it. It's why, if you're a cable provider, are you denying people the games they want to watch?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm the only thing I am is a sports fan.
Yeah.
And if I were at home, I would just hate that I'm here. I resent hearing from me right now. You don't care back
and
forth.
We're glad you're here, but we get the point. You're right. And I feel from a personal standpoint, I am involved, full disclosure, with the Big Pro Football Show and the Chicago Lead. I am enjoying my time there. There's so much good going on at the network that it sometimes gets clouded by the fact that the first word out of people's mouths when they see that, whether it's online or in person, is like, well, yeah, great, but I can't watch it. You know, when are you going to get that done? And that takes away from some of the momentum that you want to exist, that exists and you want to enjoy. And hopefully this week will be the end of it, Jason. And I just hope that, you know, that urgency that we talked about is felt with Comcast as well.
Yeah, thank you. We're really proud of the way the network looks. It looks tremendous. It looks high entertainment value. We want you to feel like you're in the United Center, like you're at the ballpark. The graphics are terrific. Our team is terrific. The talent is terrific. We've got a lineup Monday through Friday that's all designed just for Chicago sports fans. College football, really focused on the Big Ten and Notre Dame. The NFL, focused on the NFC and North. The Chicago Lead, which is essentially a Chicago Sports Center and First Take all in one. This entire network is grounded in Chicago sports, and we really think people will like it when they can watch it.
And now, Mullion Hall.
Yeah, and hopefully we can have you back and talk to you about what we're doing as opposed to what isn't happening right now.
Right.
But that's really what the story has been. Jason, thank you. We appreciate you coming on
great
and
to
talking
you.
To us, and it's great to have this relationship with you. It's Mullion Hall at Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.